Good morning. We're going to be continuing our study on the omnis of God. Today we're looking at His knowledge. He is all-knowing. He never forgets. Before we start, I'd like to pray. Father, I thank You for this time that we're focusing on Your Word. I pray that You would open our hearts and minds, that we would be attentive to all this information, that we would take it to heart and put it into practice. So we give the praise in advance for what's going to take place through this time, and I pray it has an impact on our lives for eternity. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been said that we forget 95% of what we hear after 72 hours. Here's a Cutie Pie story to illustrate this point. An elderly gentleman once mustered all his courage to ask an older lady to marry him. He was thrilled when she said yes. The next morning he had to phone her, and here's the conversation that took place. He said, "I remember asking you to marry me, but for the life of me, I can't remember what you said." "I'm so glad you called," the woman replied. "I remember saying yes to you, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember the question." You may say, "James, well, that's a stretch." But the point I'm trying to make here is human knowledge and recall is very limited. Psychologists tell us that at any given time, we're only able to load and store 7 items in our memory, give or take 2. To illustrate how limited our knowledge is, would you be willing to take a little quiz? Don't worry, it won't have anything to do with what we talked about last week. I'm going to list a series of letters and numbers and ask you to remember and repeat them after just a few seconds. Ready? I'll go slowly. Here we go. W. P. C, 4, F, T, G, I, C, W, T, 5. Okay. Can anybody repeat the 12 letters and numbers I just listed? Would you agree that a memory capacity of 5 to 9 items is a very limited memory capacity at best? Most of us also have problems with retrieval. I know I do. Have you ever experienced the "it's on the tip of my tongue" syndrome? Even in this age of information waiting at our fingertips, rest assured that no one on this planet is capable of knowing even a small percentage of all there is to be known of the world we live. Think about it. As we go about our day, we frequently rely on someone else's knowledge. For instance, when you go to the pharmacy to get a prescription filled, you depend on the pharmacist to know what they're doing, and don't confuse the prescribed medicine or the dosage. I mean, one typo can mess with your recovery, for that matter, your life. And at the end of the day, we wouldn't know. When you build a house or a small addition, you enlist contractors that know how to do the task at hand. We place our lives on someone else's knowledge because ours is limited. Something to think about is every appointment we make with someone is with the world's greatest or world's worst, you fill in the blank. Based on knowledge, someone on the planet has an appointment with the world's greatest dentist tomorrow. On the other hand, someone has an appointment with the world's worst. Not so with God. There is absolutely nothing that God does not know. His knowledge never increases, nor does it decrease. And when we come to understand this, our confidence in Him can only grow. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14, the prophet Isaiah reminds us of a valuable piece of information. Verse 13 asks, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor?" In verse 14, "Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding?" This begs the question, where did God go to school? Nowhere. God never had to read or study to learn what he knows. God's omniscience is not taught. If God ever had to learn something new, it would mean that he wasn't omniscient before. Understand this. From all eternity, God knew everything. If you take time to read Psalm 147, I would say the first seven verses, but verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Psalm 33:13-15 says, "From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." Proverbs 15 is packed filled with little nuggets of wisdom, well worth the time to read. Verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." I don't know about you, but for me that's a good piece of knowledge to know. The prophet Jeremiah came to understand that his God had a plan for his life. Listen to a portion of his prayer in Jeremiah 32:19. "Great are your purposes, and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and as their deeds deserve." Because God is omniscient, that is, all-knowing, we should have a strong desire to turn from sin and pursue righteousness. We do this through the knowledge we find in God's Word. In 1 Timothy, Paul warns us of the many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. In chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he offers good instruction. "Flee from all this," that being the foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. "Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith." In 2 Timothy 2:22, he gives more valuable insights, saying, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." I've brought to your attention Psalm 119 before, and I'll continue to encourage you to apply the knowledge found in it to your life. Verse 168 says, "I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you." Get this. Nothing is hidden from God. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the fourth chapter, you can read for yourself Cain's murder of Abel and how God is attentive to the cries of the earth. Or meander through the book of Joshua. In chapter 7, you can read of Achan's dishonest gain and that our actions have consequences. Because God is omniscient. He judges rightly. 1 Samuel 2:3 tells us, "The Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed." Jeremiah 16:17 says, "My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes." He says in chapter 17, 9 and 10, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." These verses should get our attention. The truth is, God knows us inside and out. There is a bright side to all this. Hebrews 6:10 reassures us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Over the last 2 weeks, we have been looking at the omnis of God. Simply put, his attributes. By now, I hope you know that he is ever-present, all-powerful, and all-knowing. Each week, we seem to wind up at a certain scripture, Psalm 139. Searching the content of this passage, we do get a glimpse of God. Verse 1, "You have searched me, Lord. You know me." Just how well do you think God knows you? His word tells us, verse 2, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." Clearly, David has been seeking God and found him. At the end of this very same psalm, David does something we all should do. He does an inventory of his life, a little introspection. You can read for yourself the list he has of himself in verses 19 through 22. Then in verses 23 and 24, he prays. He prays to the one he has been seeking with all of his heart. He makes this powerful request to the God of the universe, the one true God. David says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There is so much valuable wisdom and knowledge to be found in the Psalms. David, a man after God's own heart, who wrote Psalm 26, offers an outline of how to be successful as we journey throughout this life. What you do with this psalm, for that matter, what you do with the whole of God's Word, is completely up to you. Putting them into practice gives us confidence that the Lord, your God, is there. So often as we go about life, we're just like this little boy in the story I'm about to share. Even though we know full well about the doctrine of God's omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, we do not live by it. As the story goes, a little boy was afraid of the dark, and one night his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her broom to her. The little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mommy, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. "You don't have to be afraid of the dark," she explained. "Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and protect you." The little boy looked at his mother intently and asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" "Yes, I'm sure. He's everywhere, and he is always ready to help you when you need him," she said. The little boy thought about this for a minute. Then he went to the back door and cracked it open ever so slightly. Peering out into the darkness, he called, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" That is the first step to finding God. Call on His name, and then seek Him with every moral fiber of your being, that is, all of your heart. And according to God's Word, you will find Him. My friend, the first step is completely up to you. Father, thank you that you have given us the handbook to life, the Bible. I thank you that we have the freedom to read it, and I pray that you would instill in us the desire to know you more. God, I pray that you would bring to completion the work you have begun. We thank you for your grace, that you're so patient, and that you are pursuing each one of us. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that we would know that you are God, and that you are there. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.